It is the 24th of January. We have three games to go through. There actually wasn't a lot. It was a pretty depressing fantasy night, if we're being honest. Well, at least my teams were. But we will go over the games. We will look at some injury news, take some questions, do all of that stuff. This is the Friday post-game show. Let's go balls deep. I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I do it, say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny getting tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy. Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I'm Adam King. Find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at AdamKing91. Find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere, everywhere you consume your fantasy basketball content. We are also proudly part of the Old Man Squad at Old Man Squad on Twitter. Go and follow them. Go and follow Dan at Dan Vesperis, DanBesBris on Twitter, to check out all of the content over there, including Dan's show, Old Man Squad. He has a DFS component, I suppose, of the Old Man Squad, which is hosted by Brenton Eckersley, who is a fellow Australian. Thinking about getting him on my show maybe once a week, doing a bit of a DFS sort of redraft crossover kind of thing. I don't play DFS personally. I know a lot of people do. So we might trial something there. I know he's sort of up for anything. Finding a time shouldn't be too much of an issue given we're in the same country. So there, that might be coming. We might look at doing some sort of a DFS portion of Balls Deep as well. We will see. Three games to talk about tonight. Look, we'll get into it. I'll go through the top 10 players from tonight. Some interesting names there. When there's only three games, of course, you're going to get some weird players popping up. We had Tyrese Maxey as the number one player, followed by Ty Jerome, Luke Kennard, Donovan Mitchell. Good to see a good game from Donovan Mitchell too. Jaren Jackson, Kelly Oubre, Zach Edey, Donovan Klingon, Mark Williams, and Anthony Simons. And a little shout out there to Brandon Clark, who was the 12th ranked player tonight. So yes, we will talk about those players. We will talk about all of the games. Let's get into the first. Oh, I haven't fixed that up properly, have I? That's better. You don't need to see all the other stuff. Portland at Charlotte. Well, I mean, Portland win the game, but Charlotte win the tanking battle, I suppose. Both teams trying to lose. Charlotte did a better job. Portland, let's start with them. Temani Kamara, yeah, solid enough. Jeremy Grant played. That's great. 22 points, 4 rebounds, a steal. He's a hold when he's playing, and then he'll be a drop at some point. If you did drop him, I wouldn't be too concerned here. He will probably miss a game very soon. Anthony Simons, nice night for him. 27 points, 2 steals. And Denny Avdia, a good game. Look, again, Charlotte, you're going to put up numbers and vice versa. For the center rotation here, DeAndre Ayton, we know he was out with what they are calling a knee sprain. I said in the pregame show that would tell me if they're being honest, and of course they're probably not, this would be a multi-game absence. Otherwise, it's not a knee sprain. He was out. Rob Williams was just out because why not? So Donovan Klingon started. Now, he only played 18 minutes, which is, look, it's not ideal. 4 points, not ideal. But he had 13 rebounds, he had 4 assists, he had a steal, he had 4 blocks. So the offense, certainly going to be hit or miss here, and that's fine. But the other numbers in 18 minutes are pretty damn good. So if you streamed him in, managed to pick him up tonight, if you're stashing him, this is great. I would hold him. As I said, we have no idea what's happening with Ayton. We have no idea what's happening with Rob Williams. Have this conversation in a month, and I think Klingon is probably the starter and playing 26 minutes a night. So it's going to be up and down, but hold him. Scoot Henderson, on the other hand, 23 minutes, played poorly. Portland certainly know how to knock a guy off off his tree when he's playing well, don't they? He was playing the best basketball of his career. He was confident. And so they decide to just move him to the bench and play him 23 minutes. I would try and hold here if you can. The last game was obviously a very low point in terms of minutes. He played 23 minutes here, which is better, but not ideal. In saying that, Jeremy Grant could be out for the next game. Anthony Simons could be out for the next game. So I would try and hold Sharp. It is hard to make a case for it, but that's what I'm going to be doing, I think. At least in most of my standard leagues, I have him in my very shallow seven-team redraft league. That league, I may or may not hold him. I'll just see how I'm sitting in the standings and that sort of thing. And that's really it for Portland. Let's move to Charlotte, who, of course, were without LaMelo Ball, Miles Bridges. I think at this point, when players on these teams pop up as questionable, we just assume that they're out. So with both of those guys out, we had Cody Martin, who was questionable with a groin injury. He started, he played 5 minutes, and then he left the game with, a groin injury. So surprise, surprise, rushing a player back or playing through a soft tissue injury, they aggravate it. He is probably now going to be out for a week or two. Not that Charlotte care and not that we really care from a fantasy perspective, but it's just another example of teams faking injuries. Well, faking, I don't know what the right word is. Anyway, they make these injuries sound worse than they are. They rest players, all of this crap. And then someone who actually is injured, they make them play and re-injure themselves. So poor injury management again by Charlotte. As I said, from fantasy perspective, we don't care. Nick Smith Jr. started again. He had 17, 5, and 5 with two blocks. Must roster player, I think, rest of the way. This is probably on the high end of what we're going to get from him because we didn't have LaMelo and we didn't have Bridges. But I still think he's going to play enough. Micić, he filled in for LaMelo Ball, 12 points, 3 assists. It's, that again, pretty depressing. If you streamed him in, hopefully LaMelo returns tomorrow. They are on a back-to-back and they do play tomorrow. Let me just see who they play. That will determine whether these guys play. We've got a lot of games tomorrow. Actually, how many games do we have? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 games tomorrow. Jesus. They play the Pelicans. I know they've got a very similar record. To me, I think the New Orleans Pelicans are probably a team that could push for wins here. So Charlotte may be of the opinion that this is a game where the opposition wants to win. So I wouldn't be surprised if LaMelo and Miles Bridges return tomorrow, but we will find out tomorrow. Mark Williams, 15, 9, 3 blocks, 1 steal. So I looked at this line and he did get some buckets late, I think, to sort of make it look a bit better. I looked at this and I thought, oh, that's a bit underwhelming. But it's really not. It's almost a double-double with 4 defensive stats on 50% shooting and 75% from the line. This is actually really good. It's just that he has been so good that people, including me, are going to look at this and go, oh, that's sort of average. I'm not pumped about this, but you should be because this was very good. Then we look at our streamers. I mean, Okogie, we know what he can do when he plays minutes. We said this from the trade, from the moment he was traded. If he plays 30-plus minutes, he's a must-roster player. 16 and 10, 3 assists, 3 steals. He's just not going to play these minutes. That's the issue here. If you streamed him in tonight, hold on to him till tomorrow, but again, 14 games, so chances are you're not going to have him in your best eight players or nine or seven. Moussa Diabate had 6 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. This is what he can do in 20 minutes. He can be a streamer, but nothing more. And very little else there for Charlotte. Warrants discussion, I think. Okay, Cleveland at Philadelphia. Another loss for the Cavs. So much like the Magic and Boston and these teams, they're really just trying to get to this All-Star break. So they were without Evan Mobley. They were without Caris LeVert. I guess that sort of impacts them. Donovan Mitchell was very good. Darius Garland was very good. Jared Allen, I'm not the highest on him. I know he's a must-roster player. I know he's been very good. 8 and 10 with a steal and a block. I just think he and Mobley work so well together. So I think you take one of them out, the other one can struggle. And I think it's more, we're seeing more now that it's Allen who struggles as opposed to Mobley. Wade played 20 minutes. He left with an injury. Oh, I can't think what the injury, not that we care, but I'll look it up anyway. It was a knee injury. And yes, we don't care. Max Strus, he had 2 blocks and a steal, 2 threes, 7 rebounds. That's sort of all right, but only 6 points. So not the worst stream of the night, but certainly not the best. But Ty Jerome, we saw this early in the season. He had a couple of games where he popped off, 33 points, 2 steals, basically didn't miss a shot, 8 of 8 from 3. Now, people are going to want to chase this. Sure, if you want to take a flyer on him and see if this can turn into a week worth of production. I'm not convinced. LeVert was out. Mobley was out. Wade got injured. So it was opportunity. But we've seen him do it. As I said, early in the season, we had a glimpse of this. So if you want to take a flyer, go ahead. I'm not convinced. Philly, a good win for Philadelphia. We haven't been able to say that all too often this season. Paul George, this is the Paul George of old. 30 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 6 threes. Great. Tyrese Maxey, as I said, he was the... Was he the number one player of the day? I think that's what I said. Where are you? He was, yes. 29 points, 7 assists, 2 steals, 2 blocks. They did a lot of the heavy lifting here, but Kelly Oubre was very good. He fouled out, but still played 39 minutes. 22 points, 13 rebounds, 3 steals. He hit a 3. He hit all his free throws. So a really nice night for him. He's very up and down, but remains a hold. Yabusele had 12 and 13 with 2 blocks. He, too, is a hold until Drummond is back and if Embiid is ever back. Eric Gordon had 15 points. He's a 3-point streamer. I'm not running out to grab him. They went with a really shallow rotation. Ricky Council was out of the rotation. If you streamed him in, that's pretty rough. Justin Edwards had 15 points, 2 steals, 1 block, 6 rebounds. So a nice night there. We didn't get much of a Dem Bona or Jeff Doughton. So very, very shallow rotation as Philly were actually in a game and competing and ended up winning. The Pelicans, I talked about them. Do they want to win games? I think they probably do. Zion was out for the Pelicans here, first night of a back-to-back. So based on that injury reporting, he will return tomorrow. I'm not saying 100% he will, but assuming that they're telling the truth and he was out for the first night of a back-to-back, then yes, he should return. That will likely send Jeremiah Robinson-Earl back to the bench. He did nothing tonight. Trey Murphy had 22, 6, and 4. Not his best night, but still certainly good enough. CJ, 22 points, 4 assists. DeJounte Murray, 26 points, 7 assists. So they were all good, those three. We had Jordan Hawkins, who popped off the bench with 20 points, 2 steals, 4 threes. Talked about him, talked about Alvarado, talked about Javonte Green as our possible streamers tonight. Alvarado had 6 assists and a steal with 2 threes. So not as good as Hawkins, you'd probably say, but still fine. And Javonte Green had 8, 5, and 1. No defensive stats, so it's a pretty ordinary night for Javonte Green. I think I streamed him in one league, and I'll just move on from him tomorrow. For Memphis, oh, did I even say who won the game? Memphis won the game, 139 to 126. Memphis were without Ja Morant. So we had Point Kennard again, and he had his best game of the season probably, and arguably his best game in about 2 years. 27 points, 6 assists, 1 steal, 7 threes. He's been quietly pretty good. He's moved ahead of Scottie Pippen in the rotation. I've talked about his playmaking upside. He's one of the best three-point shooters in the league, so I don't mind grabbing him. Obviously, with Ja out, this helps. But Ja seems to miss every second or third game anyway. So I think I've got Kennard in... Do I have him in a standard league? I'm not sure. I know I've got him in at least one or two leagues, and I'm just going to hold him here because he's playing well enough. He's getting minutes in the mid-20s. Desmond Bain had 20, 14 assists again. So, again, no Ja Morant helps. Jalen Wells, 8 points, 2 steals. He's fine as a back-end standard league guy. Doesn't have much of an upside or much of a ceiling, sorry. Zach Edey had 13, 11, two blocks, 1 steal. So a nice night for Zach Edey up against Eve Meesey. Not surprising that he was able to sort of get what he wanted around the basket. Jaren Jackson, good. We don't need to talk about him. Brandon Clark, I said he was the, 12th ranked player or something tonight, 14 and 9 with 2 steals. So if you streamed him in for defensive stats, rebounds, and efficiency, you got all of that. Jay Huff only 3 minutes, so they're sort of running with Zach Edey and Brandon Clark at this point. That's not to say that will be the model moving forward, but it was here, and it has seemed to have been the preference of those two over Jay Huff in recent times. GG Jackson had 10 points, 7 rebounds in his 22 minutes. So good to see him back playing minutes. We're not adding him. We're not adding John Conchar. Scottie Pippen had 13 and 3 with 2 steals. So when Jar is out, we know that he is a stream, and that was the case here. All right, only 2 questions. Oh, I'm going to get out of here early. 3 questions. Joseph Kim. Lone Dez is kind of tempted to add Ty Jerome. Go ahead. Yeah, look, it's... this was sort of circumstance. His shot was falling, but he did have about 2 or 3 games, I think, like this early in the year. So if you want to grab him and just see, that's fine. Ernest Tan, should I hang on to Oubre if Nance gets more than 24 minutes tomorrow? 12-team, 9-cat, but you have Jalen Johnson, Suggs, and Mobley. I think Suggs returns tomorrow. I think Goga returns tomorrow. I think we're going to get maybe a look at a full-strength Orlando tomorrow, which would be really nice. Jalen Johnson has been ruled out. We don't have word on the severity of this shoulder injury yet. Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if it is multiple games here, a couple of weeks. Mobley, they're sort of just being very cautious with him. So in terms of your actual question with Oubre or Nance, I don't think Nance will get more than 24 minutes. I know he was playing very well before his injury, but that was when Okongwu was out. Okongwu is back now and playing probably the best basketball of his career. He's starting. Capella is still playing relatively well off the bench. He is probable tomorrow as well. So I just don't see a way that Nance gets more than 24 minutes unless they're going to play him at the 4 with Jalen Johnson out. There is a chance they do that. If he does, I'd probably still hold Oubre, I think. I think you'd need Nance to be getting 30 minutes, and I'm pretty sure that's not going to happen. Okay, Joseph Kim, rank order of guards in 9-cat. Tyus, Collier, Kennard. Ooh. It could be Collier first, you know. Look, I mean, Tyus is probably first just because he is starting every game. So I'd probably put him first just purely because of role. If you're looking at longer term, beyond the trade deadline, I think I'd have Collier first. I think Kennard's role is just going to stay the same. He'll be 25 minutes, which hopefully will be enough moving forward. He'll be up and down a little bit, but I'd probably go Tyus, Kennard, Collier. In a month, it might be Collier, Kennard, Tyus, or Tyus, Kennard. Yeah. I don't think any of them are top 120 players, if that helps. Lone Dez just got offered Pertl for Ware. Should you accept it? It's a tough one. That's really hard. Toronto do my head in. I don't know what they're doing. It sounds like they want a lot for a trade for Jakob Poeltl, so they're not willing to just give him up for anything. That doesn't mean they're going to play him down the stretch. Poeltl is safer at the moment. Ware certainly has more upside. I'd consider it. I mean, if you're punting threes, that obviously helps Poeltl over Ware here, because a portion of his value comes from the fact that he's able to spread the floor and hits his free throws. Hits his free throws at a better rate than Poeltl. So in that build, I think you could probably do it. If you just want to hold on to Ware and play for upside, then I think that's okay as well. Lone Dez, it's insane because as a Thunder fan, Ty, and this is Jerome, Ty's field goal percentage was not this good. No, he wasn't. And that's why I don't think that this is something we can get used to. Is Jabari Walker turning into a Chris Dunn-esque streamer? Look, he can be a decent streamer. We saw this last season. At the moment, I'm not there because they're just not playing him enough minutes. But he could be a streamer when we get to February or March. Chad, should I pack it in sitting at 50 and 53 in eighth, six games out, but with Suggs, Mobley, IQ out? Who knows day-to-day with John Collins? I don't know. What pack it in. If this is a redraft, I mean, I'm always going to continue trying to win, even if I'm 11th in a league. If you can pull out a couple of nice wins, you might get quickly back in the next couple of weeks. Suggs could be back tomorrow. It's going to be tough. If you're sitting at under 50%, yeah, look, it's going to be tough, but I never give up. Is Sarr a better option than Scoot? He at least plays on a team who look like they want to have him out there and are willing to. And I think we will get to that point with Portland. At the moment, Sarr is probably a bit safer, but I still think that Scoot will end up being a better fantasy asset. Who's my basketball goat? My favorite player is Dennis Rodman. I don't think he's the greatest player of all time, of course. Best rebounder I've seen by far. I haven't seen anyone come close to Rodman as a rebounder. If you want to just watch highlights of rebounding, go and watch Dennis Rodman highlights. It's unbelievable. I modeled a lot of my game off him and led leagues in rebounding multiple seasons. Even the season just gone, even though I'm 45, I still led the league pretty comfortably in rebounding. I think I got about 14 a game. So I just love rebounding the ball. And I've listened to Rodman talk about how he rebounds the ball, reading the ball out of the hand off the rim. I love doing that, getting to the spot where the ball is going to land. It's an art. And so he was my favorite player. In terms of the best player I've ever seen, it's Michael Jordan. And I grew up with Michael Jordan. So there's that whole LeBron Jordan debate. I don't think it's a debate. Not that I'm saying LeBron shouldn't be in that discussion, but to me, they just played in such different eras that you can't compare the two. It's like someone who would say that Bill Russell is their best player. You can't compare him to Michael Jordan because the eras were totally different. The rules were different. So for me, it was Jordan, and that's just because he was the best when I was growing up and the Bulls were the best. Am I a sneakerhead? I wouldn't say I'm a sneakerhead. I do have a lot of shoes. I have probably 35 to 40 pairs. I'm nothing like Josh, but I have a few, and I do look after my shoes. So I have a few like Jordans, re-released Jordans that are still in the box, that sort of thing. So I guess sort of, but not compared to Josh and not compared to a few of my friends either. No, I am not. All right. Bino. Vic Krejci or Luke Kennard? Ooh, that is a tricky one. I'm probably going to go Krejci. Just does a little bit more defensively, I think. Probably would come down to sort of what you need. I think Kennard if you need assists and threes, Krejci if you need defensive stats. I think he's a bit better on the defensive end. They're pretty close. I think pretty close. Hear any word of the Trailblazers shopping anyone at the deadline? Holding Scoot. Shopping, well, Ayton, I would assume they are trying to shop. Simons, I would expect them to be trying to shop as well. Who else have they got on? I've got their roster here in front of me. Kamara, no, I don't think so. Jeremy Grant, absolutely, they would be looking to trade him. But I said on the pregame show, no one wants his contract. It's going to be a bad team. Klingon, no. Rob Williams, probably. I think they're probably trying to look to move Rob Williams. He's probably a lot easier to move than DeAndre Ayton. And then they've got a lot of role players. Yeah, they're probably the ones. I think Grant, Simons, Ayton, maybe Rob Williams. Okay, so Chad's question is a dynasty question. Okay, well, that's a bit different. If you're sitting eighth, six games out in a dynasty, yes, I would probably try to shuffle some things, some pieces on the board, I suppose, and build for the future. Cookie Monster, how did I become friends with Josh? Just through fantasy. I didn't know him. He was one of the first podcasts I stumbled across, like probably a lot of you and a lot of people. It's either Josh or Dan. I stumbled across Josh, and obviously I knew he was Australian by listening to him. So figured out where he lived. He talked about the fact that he lived in Melbourne, and I visit Melbourne from time to time for different reasons. And I was down there. And so I just messaged him and said, would it be okay to just grab a beer and have a chat? And he sort of just told me how he got started in the business. And I thought, okay, well, it worked for him. So I'm going to follow a similar path to start with. And that's how it happened. And now we talk pretty often, obviously. I don't see him that often because we live 7 hours apart. But I just reached out to him. That was all. Chad, Okay, so this is the dynasty question. I think could get some premium value for guys like Monk, MPJ, Keegan, potentially Garland or Bane if you really want to blow it up. Yeah, look, you could. If you're in a dynasty, who would I look to move there? I probably wouldn't move Keegan because I just don't think you'll get much back for him. And I think he's still very young in his career. Like, I think he probably has, out of all of these guys here, maybe not Garland, but he probably has the biggest room to grow. I think Michael Porter Jr. is who he is at this point, so I'd be okay with moving him. Bane is probably what I just don't know how he ever pushes into the top 20. I think what we're seeing from him now is sort of who he is. Monk, likewise. Garland's interesting. I might hold Garland there. Joseph asks, is Connolly back on the map? Oh, I think he is. He was very good in the last game. I'm not sure that's going to stick. I mean, he's been so bad. But, yeah, I think looking at him and Krejci over Tyus and Collier. Yeah, look, I think, I mean, all four of those guys, as I said, are outside the top 120. So you're not shuffling your top 50 guys here around. You're just shuffling back end players. So I don't think it matters too much. So I think I'm okay with that. Do I think Scoot finishes the year better per game than Vassell? No, I don't think so. I'm relatively high on Vassell. So no, I think Vassell finishes higher there. Chad's buying market is Tobias Harris, Paul George, Misi, Duren and Gafford, Jamal Murray, Kawhi. Yeah, I mean, that's not in a dynasty, that none of those names are great. Misi, Duren's all right, I suppose. Tobias, no. Paul George, no. Jamal Murray, no. Sexton, no, I don't think so. Gafford, no. Duren's the only one I'd really be interested in there. But I don't think any of those players there are going to take you to the title, based on what you've sort of said. Would I trade Ayton for a Kongwu? I would. Chill guy? Yes, I would do that. Look, even actually, like, I know we talk about Ayton and the injury risk and whatever. I think I'd just take a Kongwu over him. Even not worrying about injuries, I just think a Kongwu might be a better player. So what you meant was during March to scoop play to a higher level than what Vassell would provide. He'll get you more assists, and that's his role. He should. I don't think so. I think they both could be. I think Vassell is sort of top 80, top 70 rest of the way, and Scoot might push inside that range. He obviously has more holes in his game than Vassell, so he has higher highs in terms of probably scoring upside and assists. Defensively, they're similar. Vassell, I think, will be more efficient. We are starting to see some more efficiency from him, which has been good. So, no, I'd still go with Vassell, I think. It would be nice to have a healthy lineup of any players, but, yes, Garland, Bane, Monk, Halliburton, MPJ, Keegan, Dyson, Mobley, Collins, IQ and Suggs. That would be a nice, healthy lineup, but unfortunately, they're not all healthy. So it's been a rough season for some of us. All right, I'm going to head out now for some food. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I will be back with a pre... Oh, no, hang on. We have a 4 a.m. Do we want to do a pre-game show? Unless I do it late tonight. Oh. Look, I'll probably do a pre-game show. I mean, I'll definitely do one. It might just be that it is before the second game. So the first game here tomorrow is the Pacers Spurs game, which is in Paris. So tip off is 4 a.m. and I'm not getting up at 3 a.m. to do a show. The next game tips off at 7 a.m. and that's the Nuggets and the Wolves. So I could get up and do a show before then. Alternatively, I could do a show tonight before I go to bed. But it's just early. I like waiting to get a bit of an idea on injury reports. So I probably won't do it tonight, only because it'll be 10 hours before tip-off of that second game. And that's too far away, I think. So there will be a pregame show, although the pregame show will come... that's true, Chad. I could do that. I could do the first game now. All right, let's have a look. Hang on. Let's go to, as I just close this up and move this over. Look at me go. We don't have injury updates yet for the, for any of the games really, but we do have, all right, let's bring this one up. So the first game, like I said, it is a 12 p.m. Eastern tip-off, which is, I'm assuming, what was it, 4 a.m.? It's probably like a 7 p.m. in Paris, something like that. I think they're about 9 hours behind us here. Indiana at San Antonio. Now, those two teams played 2 days ago, and the Spurs won comfortably. I would expect the Pacers to come out a little bit more aggressive in the next game. It's a long way to go for two losses. In terms of streaming tomorrow, 14 games, it's going to be hard. There really isn't going to be much to look at streaming-wise. I mean, I've got a sample here of my lineups tomorrow. If I just look at... in my Fantrax leagues, I've got a full lineup there. Where's my industry pickup? Industry pickup, I have more than enough boats and hoes. That's one of my leagues. I have more than enough old man squad contributor league. I have basically every player. My head-to-head roto trial league, I have basically every player. So look, streaming tomorrow is going to be really hard, and we don't really need to talk too much, I don't think. But for the Pacers, they're relatively healthy. So we're looking at, Mathurin, but I haven't seen him on waivers anywhere. So we'll assume he is rostered. So it's really Obi Toppin and TJ McConnell are our two streaming considerations if you need assists and steals, or if you need some steals and field goal percentage. Obi is not too bad. For the Spurs, Sohan, we will assume he plays. He's not on the injury report, so no indication that he will sit out. It's not a back-to-back. It's two games in 3 nights, but he will probably come off the bench. He will probably play limited minutes, but he should be rostered. His presence in the lineup impacts Steph Castle. I think he is probably going to be a drop at some point. If you've just got him sitting on your roster and you want to roll him out tomorrow, then that's fine. But I do think we get to the point where he is probably a drop. Keldon Johnson, not really worth targeting tomorrow, I don't think. Again, with Sohan available. Vassell, been playing really well. Hopefully he can keep that up. So there's actually not a ton to talk about here. Unless we get an addition to the injury report, unless sort of Halliburton pops up or Sohan pops up or something like that overnight. There's no one else there, I think, don't think, that's sort of been dealing with any niggling injuries. Yeah, they're probably it. So that's probably about it for tomorrow, for that first game anyway. And Chad, I'm not sure. Do they bring a court with them, or are they using a EuroLeague court? I would assume they use a EuroLeague court, and maybe they just have something that they sit on top of it. The ability to remarket, obviously. They're not going to rip the lines up as such. But, I'm not sure exactly how that works. Yeah, interesting though. I don't know the answer to that one. All right, now I'm going to get out of here. And yes, I will set my alarm and I will be up and I will do a pre-game show at about 2:30 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. We'll try and get through the 13 games before the 3 p.m. tip-off. We'll do the best that we can. Thank you, as always, for listening and doing all of the stuff that you do. Go and download, go and pre-like the trade deadline show that Dan Besseris and I will be hosting in a few weeks. 2 weeks? Saturday? It's on a Friday. Yeah, under two weeks now till the trade deadline. So there you go. We will probably have a show middle of next week, which will be our pre-trade deadline stash something show. Trade Talk will be back next week, hopefully, with Noah Rubin. And as I said at the top of the show, I might look at adding a DFS element to the show by bringing Brenton Eckersley on once a week. I don't know when. I don't know how much I'll have to contribute to that because I don't play DFS, but we will see. I'll talk with him and we might find a night that works for both of us. But that will do. Thank you, everyone. I'll be back tomorrow. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep post-game show. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.